Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs. We are sure enjoying this new series we are calling Family Success. Today is part three in this 12-part series. Let's get started. We want to have a successful, happy family.
Yes, we do.
And, you know, we tend to think of this in terms of parenting, but today it's way beyond that. The Bible is very clear that every one of us are kind of responsible for three generations, because the Bible makes it a point that we're responsible for ourselves.
Yes.
Bethley and I then are responsible for the five children we have.
Right.
And the Bible also speaks about the responsibility we have to what the Bible calls our sons' sons.
Grandchildren.
So that we're responsible for grandchildren. And you know, there's different ways that even applies today. A lot of grandparents are raising their grandchildren. And so these are just as important. Just because you're older and maybe weary of the journey, they're your responsibility to train. So today we're going to do part two. Last week was talking about, just very simply, the most important word in raising children.
Which is training.
It's the word training. And so part two, we're going to talk to you today about understanding the issue of training. So let's just jump right in. And we ended last week with a question. Where do you want your children to be when they are officially on their own? And these are good questions to get us thinking. And here's our verses. Bethany's going to give us two verses here, Ephesians 6:4 and Proverbs 22:6.
Okay, Ephesians 6:4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it."
That's a great, great verse. Let's just review the Ephesians 6:4. To bring them up is to rear them to maturity. To nurture them is a very broad word. It's to educate them, to train them, to correct them, to instruct them, to chasten them.
Lots of teaching.
And the word admonition is the word that means to call attention to, or to rebuke, or to warn.
I have the idea when I hear that word admonition, the calling attention to, I think of often in church. When our children were little and they'd be lined up on the front row, I might be on the piano or I might be on the platform singing or whatever. And David would snap his fingers just a little, and it would draw all of their attention. There was admonition in that snap.
And sometimes it was quite humorous. And other times I had to leave the platform and go down and sit by them.
Right, right. Yes.
Those were good days. Proverbs 22:6. Training up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. It is a simple verse, debated somewhat. Some people don't like it.
But we're going to focus on the training part.
Training. The training is the key. What he's saying to you, moms and dads, is, look, moms and dads, your training will affect your children even when they're older. That's what he's trying to say there. And it is so, so very true to think that way.
Yes.
And not to be discouraged. Someone asked a question a few weeks ago in one of my family conference. We had an open forum, a pastor and I. And the question that came down was, we live in such a messed up world, should we even want children? And that's a very unfortunate way to think, because what you'll find in the Bible is the world has always been messed up.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's not like the world was great and all of a sudden it's bad.
Right. Have you read Exodus?
The world has always been a royal, colossal mess.
Yes.
And one of the redeeming things of Christianity is that the family can succeed. And if we bring children into the world and train them, I tell our boys and girls too, we tell our children that just by default, if you develop character and a hard, you know, good work ethic, and you're a hard worker, by default, you're going to be the leader.
Yes.
Because in a culture that has no training,
someone not a lot
who
of character
has wisdom is going to be in high demand. And my you know, one of my favorite illustrations of that is Daniel, because Daniel was a teenager. He was taken a slave, sent to Babylon, and the rest is history.
Right.
In all those years in Babylon, he highly influenced Nebuchadnezzar, Belteshazzar, King Darius.
He was a leader.
And he was a massive leader in a messed up world. Somebody, we don't know his parents. I can't wait to meet them. But somebody trained him really well.
Yes.
That teenager showed up in Babylon on the right track. And when he was old, he was still on the right track. So Proverbs 22:6 is really illustrated in Daniel all the way from beginning to end.
Well, and I would even say that children who grow up and make decisions that they should not make, they would tell you if they were being honest. They would say, oh, my parents would never have trained me to do this. And so don't be discouraged.
Sure.
Don't be discouraged at all. Sure. Get on board and train those babies.
Oh, my goodness, train them. And if you're raising your grandchildren, it's going to be harder for you because, in a sense, you should be relaxing and enjoying your grandchildren. But now you're responsible to train them and to get them on the right path.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So here's several things today in the time that we have. Let's talk about just this word training. Mm-hmm. Training is to dedicate, to aim, to fence, and even one definition is to catechize. And so it has the idea that we take our children and dedicate them to the right way.
Right.
Say, okay, God, you gave us our sons and daughters, and they're yours. Mm-hmm. And we're the steward of them, so we're going to dedicate them to you. The aim, aim them, probably best described, what is it, Psalm 127, verse 3, as arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are our children
of the youth.
So as you take an arrow and point it towards the target.
Right, in the right direction.
You release that arrow and it just has this unusual tendency to go in the way that it's aimed.
To go where it should go, yes.
So we're to take our children and aim them. And we're to fence them. That's part of that word training. We're to fence them. And I grew up on a farm, so we would have cattle chutes in which we would load the cattle to take them to market or to take them to a cattle sale.
Right.
And there would be fences on both sides of that chute so that the cow could not go to the right. It could not go to the left. It only had one direction it could go, and that was to go forward. So we're to build fences in our children's life. That may mean that we've got to protect them from the evils of the internet.
Right.
It may mean that we're going to have to say you can't hang around that person. It may mean we have to say you can't wear that. You can't watch that.
You can't listen to that. Go there.
Because we're fencing them in to protect them. And the word catechize is an interesting word because the way catechism works is that you teach a child catechism by repeating it over and over and over again.
Kind of a rote memory thing.
It's it becomes second nature to them. And so what he's talking about here in the word train is that we're pointing them in the right way. And the point of Proverbs 22:6 is, and this is an interesting study for me, it means we make the right way palatable. Because he says, train up a child in the way he should go. And that phrase, in the way he should go, is related to the word mouth.
Right.
As in appetite, as in taste.
Yes.
And so we're training our children to have an appetite, a taste for that which is right.
Right.
And I know those who use the catechism can accomplish a lot taking a 4 or 5 year old and putting truth into them over and over, and to where you ask a question, they spit the answer out.
Right.
It becomes very palatable to them. They don't have to think about it.
Right. It's a routine.
And so that leads me to the statement here that we have to make the right way habitual. And Beth and I were talking about this even a moment ago. What are some ways that we made things habitual in our training so that our children could just follow the routine?
Right. Well, you start right from the get-go. As soon as they're born and you bring them home from the hospital, you have routines for that little one. And I know there are some moms that really go to seed on this and they can't, you know, go anywhere because no, that would mess up our routine. And I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about a mostly daily routine that you follow. And that baby who becomes a toddler, who becomes a preschooler, who becomes an elementary school student and so on, that child grows in those routines. They know what to expect.
Yeah.
When, for instance, even when we would diaper our children, they learned from an early age, you lay still and let mom and dad go ahead and get this done because it'll be a lot faster for both of us if you do. And not that we didn't make it fun and, you know, tickle their little belly or whatever and laugh and have some fun, but they learned to lay still. So that was a routine. Bath time was a routine. Meal times, our routine. And part of that routine was, okay, we're going to stop before we eat and we're going to pray. And we would hold their little hands, even when they're sitting in the high chair.
Even if they were crying.
Yes, even if they were crying and they were ready to eat, oh, well, let's pray. Let's thank the Lord. And then the routine of David always has the children say, thank you, Mom, and I love you after the meal. And that was just, it became routine. And stopping, as we mentioned in our last podcast, again, we are going back through and retraining some about yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir, just making that routine. Oh, excuse me, what do you say? Or ma'am, or let's say that one more time so that you can make it routine. So that's just what we're talking
and
about.
And even once this week, Bethley interrupted our children, our two that are home, to say to them, hey, hold on a minute. Would you ask that again in a better way? And they kind of smirked about it, but repeated it.
They were being a little fussy with each other.
They repeated it in a kind way. And then my wife said to the other sibling, would you respond appropriately? And just, it was a matter of habit.
Right.
And one of the things, you know, like for us, Sunday was habit. We always know that we go to church on Sunday morning. The children always know that.
Absolutely.
And we even had routines for that. We're going to get up, have breakfast, get dressed.
Yes.
And the evening bath, our kids had a bath every evening and got dressed in pajamas.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to quieten them down before bedtime.
Right. They had story time
so
before
bed. We would read so that we'd turn the TV off, the house would be quiet. And maybe it was just a time to relax.
And family prayer time, it's a habit. They know before we go to bed, we are going to meet together either in the living room or in mom and dad's room, and we are going to read some scripture and
pray. Even my senior said last week, one night we'd worked outside cleaning up some hurricane damage on our property. And so he had worked pretty hard when cutting trees and splitting wood and stacking it and carrying it and all that was involved in that. And he came down the hallway and he said to me, are we going to pray pretty soon? Because I'm ready for bed. And what he was saying was, you know, this is the habit. He knows the habit.
Mm-hmm.
So training is to dedicate your children. It's to aim them. It's to fence them. It's to catechize them. And it's pointing them in the right way. And I guess we ought to just stop there. Do you know the right way? He says, train up a child in the way he should go, implying there's a way he shouldn't go. There's a way she shouldn't go. There's a way they should. There's a way they shouldn't.
Right.
And we've, as parents, have got to be, I hate to use the word experts because none of us are that, but we've got to be experts in the right way. We've got to say, this is what we know is right.
Well, you have to, as parents, sit down and have that conversation. What's important to you? Is it important that you have children who tell the truth all the time?
Yes.
Well, then that is a habit you need to get them in. Is it important to you that they have manners? Then that's what you will train them in.
Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, or whatever.
But if you have no goals whatsoever, you will have untrained children. Mm-hmm. They will not have any habits that are palatable.
And all of us ought to examine our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
As parents, we ought to examine our lives to make sure, are we on the right path?
Right. We are the example.
And maybe you're listening right now and you're a dad and you know that you're not serving God and you're not living for God and you're not doing right. Then, Dad, you ought to get somewhere and find God and get things right between you and God, because your job is to point your children, your sons and your daughters, in the right way so that that way is palatable. You've been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. We're happy you joined us for part three in this multi-week, 12-part series we are calling Family Success. Join us next episode for part four. As always, remember now to serve the Lord with gladness.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIO Radio Network.